God, in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake, reveal to us the power, promise, and truths conveyed to us through the ongoing gift of your Holy Spirit in the life of your church. Amen. Well, last Sunday, during our worship at both services, we took time to remember our graduates. Perhaps before and since that time, some of you have participated in parties and celebrations for specific graduates. If not this year, I'm sure you've done it in previous years at some point. It is indeed an important milestone to be celebrated. Many of us can probably think back to projects, papers, and requirements upon which a graduation hinged, wondering if we would get it all done and if it would be good enough to see us through. Oftentimes, great emotion and stress accompanied such times of intensive preparation and anticipation. Sometimes the temptation to give up or to give in or to walk away from it all might have been great. Yet caring friends and family, or perhaps the goal itself, provided impetus to keep going, to make it across the finish line, to get that diploma, to achieve the goal, to celebrate and to be celebrated. The journey to graduation represents just one of many journeys upon which life takes us. Sometimes the starting points and ending points of journeys are not quite as clear as that prescribed by a 12-year system of education, culminating in high school graduation, followed by another period of education, culminating in college graduation, and perhaps yet another period culminating in an upper level graduate degree. Sometimes we become weary of the journeys we find ourselves on, or become confused, wondering where a specific journey is going to lead or when it is going to end. We may want to be finished or want to give up along the way. And that's when Pentecost happens. That's when the Spirit arrives. That's when God's Spirit blows like a violent wind, as in the Pentecost account according to Acts, or is quietly but insistently passed on to us in the promise of God's Word, as in the Gospel of John. While at times we might want to give up or be finished with something, we are reminded again and again that God is not finished. God is not finished revealing who God is and what in the world God is about. And we are not finished learning. There is no graduation from our ministry as baptized children of God. Yet, there is and always will be promise. One promise is that love of God results in our ability to keep and cherish what it is that is of God. Love finds a way. God's unending, unconditional love of us leads us to the point that the only way in which we can respond is with love returned to God. God's love seduces and claims us again and again and again. Another promise is that the advocate the Helper, the word used in the Gospel of John for the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, is with us forever. This gift is something that can't be taken away from us. It's in us to stay. It's been suggested that instead of thinking of the Spirit as our helper, perhaps it would be better to think of it as Jesus' helper, for it continues Jesus' presence with us by teaching and witnessing to us Jesus' ways in the world, like going shopping to buy gifts for children served by CASA. As we deal with our own crises in the world, whatever they may be, the Gospel of John reminds us that for the first disciples, Jesus' death and departure, loss of their teacher and friend. As Gail O'Day says, Jesus' death and return to God marked the end of the incarnation. Was Jesus' revelation of God thus limited to one particular moment in history, or does it have a future? O'Day then goes on to say that the Gospel of John presents the advocate, the Spirit of truth, as God's response to this crisis. Thus, incarnational faith for us today doesn't just mean believing that in Jesus the Word became flesh and lived among us. It also means believing that through the Advocate, the Helper, the Word became Spirit and lives in the life and work of the church. If, as John claims, the Spirit is the Spirit of truth, we know that it lives in us because of the truths it proclaims to us. First, it reveals to us the truth about our identity. As Paul says in Romans, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Or as John puts it, we have received a new birth, being born of water and of Spirit. Second, it reveals to us the truth about our imperfection. No matter how hard we try, we don't always get it right. We fail and we fall short. When we are wrong or have done wrong to someone else, the Spirit convicts us and lets us know the truth about ourselves that we would rather not know all the time. Yet it does not leave us in this place of mental misery. That's because the third thing that the Spirit does is to reveal to us the truth about Jesus and Jesus' capacity for forgiveness. Such forgiveness then leads us to the redemption of our mistakes, faults, and imperfections. In this way, we are renewed and restored, reassured of God's work through us in spite of our own limitations. With God, all things are possible. God can even use an imperfect community like us to bring light and life to our world. As I think how God has worked and is working through this specific congregation, Grace Lutheran, the languages referenced in today's reading from Acts lead me to reflect on the youth's gift of a peace pole here at Grace. I think of the languages that me, Pastor Wendell, and our youth have chosen for the peace pole that is in the process of being created. Pastor Wendell chose Spanish, which is reflective of this congregation's work over the years in Guatemala through the Medical Ministry of Faith in Practice. Many of our members have brought life and light to Spanish-speaking people in Guatemala because of this service. I chose Vietnamese to reflect the history of this congregation's work with Vietnamese refugees seeking asylum and a new home following the war in Vietnam. The youth, with input from the congregation, then chose Swahili, animal paw prints, Kalapuya, Arabic, and leaf prints. Swahili reflects the work Grace member Gordon Motsky has done with Tanzanian refugees from the Congo who came here to Corvallis and only spoke Swahili, so Gordon, as a Swahili speaker, could help them and help translate really necessary stuff for them. Animal paws and leaf prints remind us of our responsibility to the other living creatures and plants with whom we share this earth and our care for them and the earth. Kalapuya reminds us of our connection to the native people of this area. And finally, Arabic reminds us of our neighbors at the Salman al-Farisi Islamic Center just a block north of us and the importance of that language to their faith tradition. Thus, the peace pole, when it is placed, proclaiming, "May peace prevail on earth," in English and these additional seven languages, will be one small reminder of some of the work the Spirit has done, is doing, and will yet do in and through this congregation. So thanks be to God for this special day in which we celebrate the incarnation of the Spirit in the life and the work of the church. As baptized children of God, may we hold fast to the promises which keep us moving on the journey, even when we don't always know where it is leading us. Amen.